The other prayer I'd like to begin with is the one called Sub Tuum Presidium. And this is one of the oldest prayers to our Blessed Mother in the history of the Church. It goes back to about the year 200 to 250. And I'll read it. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us from all danger, O glorious and blessed Virgin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's in our Legion of Mary prayers that we say every day. So those of you who are active and auxiliary members will know that prayer. It is one of the oldest prayers to Our Lady in the history of the Church. So I'm very happy that all of you are studying the 33 Days to Morning Glory. I have my autographed copy here from Father Gately, and he's a wonderful priest and doing a tremendous job. And I'm so happy that all of you are studying and preparing to make the 33-day consecration. I've been doing the consecration now for, I've been ordained 23 years, but I probably started 30, maybe 35 years ago when I was a teenager making the consecration, and we did the 33-day preparation and then did the consecration. So this is a great gift to the Church that we now have writings of Mother Teresa, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and de Montfort all put into one book with his excellent commentary. And so tonight we'll be covering the second section, week two, on St. Maximilian Kolbe. Before we do that, though, I'd like to just give some overview also about the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, according to St. Louis de Montfort, because this is such a beautiful Christ-centered Marian spirituality. It's always to Jesus through Mary. And the purpose of the consecration is to help you become a saint. That's why you're doing this. It's to help you become more like Christ. That is the purpose of life, to become holy, to get to heaven, to become like Christ. And de Montfort says the best way to do that is to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, because remember, it was Mary and the Holy Spirit that formed Jesus in her womb. And so if we want to be formed into the image and likeness of Christ, we should entrust ourselves to Mary and the Holy Spirit, and they can form us and mold us and fashion us into the image and likeness of Christ. So this spirituality is a proven spirituality for making saints. Saints like St. Therese, the Little Flower, lived this spirituality. St. Maximilian Kolbe. Every pope since Pius IX has made the de Montfort consecration. Every single one of them. Pius X, Pius XI, Pius XII, all the way through to the current Holy Father. Other saints that have been transformed by this, St. Pius X, the great saint of the Eucharist, and then Mother Teresa. This is her spirituality, de Montfort's true devotion. And of course, John Paul II took de Montfort's motto, Totus Tuus, as his own motto. I am all yours, Jesus, through Mary, my Queen. And then there's other very holy people that have made this consecration. Frank Duff, the founder of a Legion of Mary, is now servant of God. Edel Quinn, Legion of Mary, missionary to Africa, is now venerable. Alfie Lam, missionary to South America, is also servant of God. Matt Talbot is also on his way to canonization. And then there'll be others, too. People like Father Scanlon out in Steubenville University, he made this consecration. Jerry Conacher with the Apostle of Family Consecration. Mother Angelica. The list goes on and on of people that have made this consecration. And one thing you'll find is that since de Montfort wrote this book, there have been more saints produced from this book than any other book written by a saint. There's no doubt about that. And again, I'm just giving you a little bit of overview before we look at the life and the writings of St. Maximilian Kolbe. What de Montfort talks about is that first we have to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary. So the idea is that we pick a day and give ourselves away. So we want to choose a feast day of Our Lady. You're going to be choosing February 11th, and you prepare for 33 days. 33 is a special number. Jesus lived 33 years, so you prepare for 33 days. And then you renew your baptismal vows and promises. That's what this is. the renewal of your baptismal vows. But you do it as an adult, where you reject Satan and decide to follow Christ and to give yourself to Jesus through the Blessed Mother. Why do we go back to Jesus through Mary? Because Jesus came to us through Mary. Jesus established that bridge, that pattern. How can we improve on what God Himself did? He came to us through Mary, the most perfect, the most humble, the quickest, safest, surest way of getting to Jesus is with and through His Blessed Mother. You can't improve on God Himself giving us this pattern. So the idea of the consecration is that just as Jesus entrusted Himself to Mary for 9 months in her womb, so we should entrust and consecrate ourselves to the Blessed Mother, who in turn gives us to Jesus. So He is the first one who entrusted Himself to Mary. He did this at the Incarnation. For 9 months He spent in her womb. That was total entrustment, total dedication and consecration to Our Lady. So when we make the consecration, we give everything to Our Lady, who then gives us to Christ. And we give Our Lady our past, our present, our future. We give everything spiritual and material, which means you give your house, your car, your property, your money, your possessions. You give your health, the kind of death that you'll go through. You give your prayers, your indulgences, your graces, your merits. It's a total consecration. Now, my favorite story about total consecration happens to be a little story I heard years ago about a chicken and a pig. They were on a farm, and the farmer, Farmer Jones, took such great care of them that they wanted to do something special, something nice for the farmer. And so the chicken came up with the idea. He turned to the pig and says, "I know, tomorrow morning we'll cook him breakfast. I'll supply the eggs." And he told the pig, "You supply the bacon." And the pig thought about it for a couple minutes. He said, "I'm not so sure. For you, it's a donation. For me, that's a total commitment." So Our Lady wants the bacon, right? Our Lady wants us to give everything, total consecration, past, present, and future, all of our spiritual and material needs, everything to Jesus through Mary. So we prepare for the 33 days and then make the consecration, renewing our baptismal vows and promises. Now, after we make the consecration, we then try to live in dependence on our Blessed Mother, to live the true devotion. And what we do is we entrust ourselves to Our Lady, and after we make the consecration, you're not allowed to worry about anything. Did you know about that? That worry is a minor form of atheism, that we have to get rid of worry because you now belong to Mary. You now belong to Jesus and Mary. So you're not allowed to worry after you make the consecration. You can still pray for things, but you're not allowed to worry about things. Father McGrath, who was a Legion of Mary missionary in China, was arrested and put in solitary confinement for 3 years. He said he never felt as peaceful in his whole life. And when he was arrested, and after he made the consecration, he promised Our Lady he would never be uneasy about anything. And he said he was never more at peace in that communist prison cell in his whole life. He said he had more peace in that communist cell because he had made the consecration, everything belonged to Our Lady, and he had complete trust. So first you make the consecration, then you try to live in total dependence upon Jesus and our Blessed Mother, like a little child. And the idea is to be formed and molded into the image of Christ by Our Lady and the Holy Spirit. So we trust in divine providence. We trust in our Lord and our Lady to provide for all of our spiritual and material needs. And we abandon ourselves to divine providence, and that we offer ourselves almost as a chess piece in the hand of our Blessed Mother, who moves us where she would like us to be. And then the third part of the consecration, so you do the consecration, you then try to live in trustful dependence upon Mary and Jesus and not worry about anything. And then you try to live in union with Mary. And what we try to do in the consecration is then try to think with Mary's mind, speak with Mary's words, listen with Mary's ears, love with Mary's heart, and try to pray with Mary's faith. See, we try to then develop Mary's virtues, Mary's qualities, her faith, her hope, her charity, her humility, her patience, her kindness. We then try to imitate our Blessed Mother. De Montfort says that in everything you do, you should try to imitate Our Lady. Again, think with Mary, speak like Mary, act like Mary, listen like Mary, love like Mary. He said, try to receive Holy Communion as Mary would receive communion. Because Mary did receive communion by John the Apostle in Ephesus when he would say Mass for her. How did Mary receive communion? Think of the reverence, the love that Our Lady had, and to try to imitate that. Receive communion like Our Blessed Mother. Attend Mass like Our Blessed Mother, standing at the foot of the cross with such devotion and such love for her divine Son. Make the Stations of the Cross like Our Lady made the first Via Dolorosa. In all things, try to imitate Our Blessed Mother. And then, of course, to be one with Mary, to imitate her virtues, means to care for the salvation of souls, to have zeal for souls. And that means to go out and try to win souls for Christ, to get souls back to God, to help people get to heaven. Mary wants to lead souls to her divine Son. If we're united to Our Lady, we want to lead souls to Jesus and to get them to heaven. So we should have an apostolate, a ministry, whether it be pro-life or teaching CCD or Knights of Columbus or Legion of Mary. Have an apostolate in which you then try to lead souls to get to heaven. Now, as we look at the second week here and look at the writings and life of St. Maximilian Kolbe, we now look at what he brings to the consecration. John Paul II has called St. Maximilian Kolbe the patron saint of the 20th century. He's called the martyr of charity, the saint of Auschwitz, the founder of the Knights of the Immaculata, and the apostle of Our Blessed Mother. So let's look for a moment at the life of St. Maximilian Kolbe. Last week you heard about the life of St. Louis de Montfort. Tonight, the life of Maximilian Kolbe. He was born in 1894 and he died in 1941. He was born in Poland on January 8th. His baptismal name was Raymond. He was born into a poor farming family. And as a young boy, he was a little rascal. He was like Dennis the Menace. And his mom said, "I don't know what's going to become of you." And so that really affected him. And he went to the chapel to pray, just when he was 10 years old. And Our Lady appeared to him and offered him two crowns. The white crown, symbolizing purity and his vocation to the priesthood, if he were to accept it. And a red crown, representing martyrdom. And she offered and says, "Which one do you want? You know, the white of the priesthood and purity, or the red of martyrdom?" And this 10-year-old boy says, "I choose both." And Our Blessed Mother smiled, nodded, and then she disappeared. And so we see a little glimpse into the spirit of Maximilian Kolbe. He then entered the seminary, and he took the name Maximilian, and he joined the conventional Franciscans, and then at the age of 16 became a novice, and they sent him to Rome. And this is when he saw that in Rome there was so much anti-Catholicism, believe it or not. Because obviously you had the Vatican and all the good holy things, but there were so many anti-Catholics in Rome, atheists, agnostics, etc. And so he promised Our Lord and Our Lady he would try to do something to evangelize. And so he continued his studies. He got a PhD in philosophy and theology by the age of 21, a double doctorate, philosophy and theology by age 21. He was brilliant. And he especially studied the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. And he had such great devotion to Our Blessed Mother. He was ordained at age 24 in 1918, and along with other young priests and seminarians, started the Knights of the Immaculata. And pretty soon it began to grow. They had more and more brothers, more and more priests. They set up a headquarters in Poland, and pretty soon they had 700 brothers in this Franciscan monastery called the City of the Immaculata. And it was an amazing place where they had printing presses, and they would print Bibles and good holy Catholic books on the saints, and they would spread devotion to our Lord and the Eucharist and our Blessed Mother all throughout Europe. And that was what they would do. And they also had lay volunteers as well. And a million copies of their Knights of the Immaculate magazine were printed each month. So it began to spread, and he taught classes and gave lectures. And one of the things he would do in his classroom was would go over to the chalkboard and write a little W equals a big W. And he said, that is holiness. When your will equals the will of God, when your will is in conformity with the will of God. Well, he also would give out miraculous medals, and he called them his bullets. He'd always carry medals in his pocket and give them to people because he said that this was a special sacramental through which God could give graces to souls. And it's called the miraculous medal because of all the miracles and cures and healings that came about from it. The original name is called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. So because he loved the Immaculate Conception so much, this became his favorite sacramental. In fact, I brought you this article, and I'll pass this around for all of you to take. This article was from the newspaper up in Baltimore in 1989, August 31st, when a woman had been waiting at a bus stop in a bad part of town, and a man came up and ripped her pocketbook from her and shot her in the chest. The bullet hit her miraculous medal, broke the medal in two, but she was spared. When they eventually took her to Johns Hopkins Hospital, the doctor said it probably saved her life. So the moral of that, if any of you guys go to Baltimore, I want you to wear your medals. So take a copy of that article, and it also explains the miraculous medal and all the symbols on the medal as well. Now then, in 1930, Maximin Kolbe was on a train, and he met some Japanese students, and he began to talk to them, and they said that they were very hungry for God, and they needed something in Japan. And so he was able to set up a monastery in Japan, in Nagasaki. And then he traveled even to India to spread the faith. He came back to Poland in 1936. And then, of course, the Nazis began and the Germans began to invade Poland. In 1939, he was arrested by the Gestapo, and then he was released 3 months later. But in 1941, he was arrested again and then sent to Auschwitz. And there he was beaten, abused, insulted because he was a Catholic priest, but he was always kind and gentle. He heard confessions. He comforted the other prisoners. And he was always the last in line for food. But on one occasion, one of the inmates escaped. One of the prisoners escaped. And because of that, the sergeant said that 10 men would die to make up for this man who escaped. And so the officer just had all hundreds of prisoners lined up, and he just chose 10 men at random. One of the men was a sergeant, Francis. He began to weep and cry. He said he was married. He had two children. What would happen to his wife and children? Father Maximin Kolbe heard this. He stepped forward and said, I will die in his place. And the officer, of course, was very happy to kill a priest rather than just a prisoner. And so he was sentenced to the starvation bunker. And in the 2 weeks before, as he was being starved to death, they sang hymns to Our Lady, to Our Lord. They prayed the rosary. And all the other starvation bunkers, there was cursing and screaming and fighting. But in his, there was peace. And there was prayer. And he helped the men die well and prepare well. He heard their confessions. He gave them absolution. And he was the last one alive when they opened the starvation bunker on August 14th, the vigil of the Assumption. He was still alive. They injected him with carbolic acid, which then burned him to death. And he died, and his soul, they say, the witnesses say that his body was filled with light and radiance at the moment of his death. And God took his soul to heaven. So this was, he was only 47 years of age. But it was a lifetime of little sacrifices that gave him the grace to make this big sacrifice. And Jesus once said, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for one's friends. And he even laid down his life for a stranger, a man he did not even know. So he was a true priest, a true victim, a true sacrificial lamb like the Lord. Jesus died for us on the cross. Maximilian Kolbe was an Alter Christus, another Christ dying for this man. So he's certainly one of the greatest apostles of the 20th century. He was beatified in 1971 by Pope Paul VI, canonized in 1982 by John Paul II, also of Poland. And he did receive those two crowns, the crown of martyrdom and the crown of purity for his priesthood. So he did live an incredible life, very short life, but one that was packed with apostolate and zeal for the salvation of souls. When you read his life, you'll see how much he loved souls and that he was willing to sacrifice everything for the souls to get people to heaven. And when we look at his spirituality, of course, it was very Eucharistic. He loved daily Mass. He loved the Eucharist. And that was the very center of his life. And in addition to his great love for the Lord, he had great devotion to our Blessed Mother. He always called her the Immaculata, the Immaculate One. And he was so taken with Lourdes and what Our Lady had said at Lourdes when Bernadette said, "What is your name?" Mary did not say, "I am the one who was immaculately conceived." She said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And that made such an impression upon St. Maximilian Kolbe that, in a sense, the Immaculate Conception was like Mary's name. It wasn't just a title, it was her name. She is Immaculate Conception. And Maximilian Kolbe meditated upon this and prayed about this. And he really delves into like new insights into theology, because he said that Mary was giving the name of her spouse, the Holy Spirit. And he talked about how the Holy Spirit is the uncreated, divine, eternal, Immaculate Conception. See, when you look at the Trinity, you have the Father begets the Son from all eternity, right? From all eternity, the Father begets the Son. There was never a time when the Son of God did not exist. From all eternity, the Father begets the Son. And from all eternity, the love between the Father and the Son, in theology we call it spirates the Holy Spirit. But Maximilian Kolbe said, he used the term that the Holy Spirit was the eternal, uncreated, Immaculate Conception. That the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. That's good theology. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. There was never a time when the Holy Spirit did not exist. The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is God, just like the Father and the Son. And so, Mary, who is so closely united to the Holy Spirit, is the human Immaculate Conception. She's not divine. She's not God. She's not a goddess. She's a human being. But she is the Immaculate Conception, the human Immaculate Conception. The Holy Spirit is divine, eternal, uncreated love, conception between the Father and the Son. So Maximilian Kolbe reflected upon that and said that isn't that appropriate, that Mary and the Holy Spirit are so one that she uses the name of her spouse. I am the Immaculate Conception. So he wrote a great deal about Mary's union with the Holy Spirit, and that Mary is the mediatrix of graces, the channel of graces to the world. We see that because she gave us Jesus, because she became the channel of Jesus to the world. Jesus is divine and the source of grace, and Mary gave us Jesus. We call her the mediatrix of all graces. She continues to bestow graces upon us, graces that come from the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit, pass through Mary's hands, as you see on the miraculous medal. When Our Lady appeared to Catherine Labouré at Rudebach, the graces were coming through her fingertips, through Mary's hands. And in fact, they were asked, Catherine was asked, well, why is it that, you know, Catherine asked Mary, why is it that people don't receive graces? And Mary said, because people don't ask for them. You need to ask for the graces. So then Maximian Kolbe delved into Mary's relationship with the Holy Spirit, and also a beautiful thought too is that if you want to see really what the Holy Spirit looks like, look to our Blessed Mother. Remember, Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Well, what does the Holy Spirit look like? Well, in Scripture, sometimes he appears in the form of a dove. Sometimes he appears as a mighty wind. Sometimes he appears as the tongues of fire. But Maximian Kolbe and Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary, who have very similar writings on this, say that really the most beautiful human image of the Holy Spirit, more than the dove or the wind or the tongues of fire, is Our Lady. If you want to see the gentleness, the beauty of the Holy Spirit, the power, the gentleness, the wisdom, look at a beautiful image of Our Lady, and you'll see the most perfect human reflection of the Holy Spirit. And you know, St. Paul reminds us that, he says, do you not realize that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? So everybody in this state of grace is a living temple of the Holy Spirit. The closer a person is to God, the more they resemble God, the more they resemble the Holy Spirit. So remember, St. Paul says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. I remember a priest I was stationed with said that when he was ordained, he was a temple, but that since he put on 50 pounds, he was now a basilica of the Holy Spirit. But the idea is that if we're temples of the Holy Spirit, how much more so is Mary, the most perfect image and reflection of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes she's called the mirror of the Holy Spirit. So she gives us a good insight into the beauty, gentleness, wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So Maximian Kolbe says that we should try to be possessed by Mary, to be filled with Mary. And he talked about that, you know, you've heard about demonic possession, how the devil or demons can possess a person. He said, why not be possessed by God? To open your heart, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to be possessed by our Blessed Mother. And to be filled with Mary, to develop her virtues, her good qualities, her wisdom, her love, her gentleness, her kindness. And then he said, try to always be united to our Blessed Mother and consecrate yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to the Immaculata. He says, why should we do this? He said, we do this to extend and bring about the reign of Christ. He said that to do this is to build up the kingdom of God. So he wants to lead all souls to the Sacred Heart of Christ. So all true Marian devotion is Christ-centered and leads to a better and deeper relationship with our Lord. So Maximian Kolbe says, we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady in order to bring about the reign of Christ and to promote the kingdom of God and to lead everyone to the Sacred Heart of Christ. What we'll do now, I think, is to pause for a couple moments and give you a chance to ask questions. So what we covered a little bit tonight was just a brief overview of De Montfort's consecration, trying to live in union with Our Lady, and then what St. Maximian Kolbe brings to the consecration is deep insights into the Immaculate Conception, Mary's relationship to the Holy Spirit, and how consecrating ourselves to Our Lady will bring about the reign of Jesus Christ. So let's open now, give you a chance to ask some questions about what we covered tonight or about the Immaculate Conception, Mary's relationship to the Holy Spirit, and to the miraculous medal or anything else that you'd like to ask about. Yeah. The question is, you know, let's say we'd be spending too much time with Mary, take away from time with Christ. The word is, try to love Jesus with the heart of Mary and love Mary with the heart of Jesus. Okay? So love Jesus with the heart of Mary and then love Mary with the heart of Jesus. And could you ever love Mary more than Jesus does? Probably not. We can try. We can try to love Mary, but you're never going to love her as much as Jesus loves her. And so you can't really worry about loving Mary too much because you can never love her more than Jesus loves her. So always respect her and honor her and keep developing a good relationship with Our Lady. The other thing is that if somebody really, you know, was spending time with your mom and was taking care of her and spending time and honoring her, would you be upset as her son or daughter? Probably not. You know, so Jesus is not offended that people respect and honor his mother. You know, if somebody paid your mom a compliment, you take that as a compliment, right? If somebody criticized your mom or hurt her or did bad things, that would hurt you. So the more closer you are to Our Lady and loving her and honoring her, the more close you are to Jesus. And so I wouldn't worry about, fear of loving Mary too much. So I would say try to make all your Eucharistic devotion Marian and all your Marian devotion Christ-centered, and you won't have to worry. So again, just try to love the Eucharist as Mary would love the Eucharist, and then love Mary as Jesus loves his mother. Any more questions?
Father, the Subtuum Presidium is actually in the book.
And yes.
It's on page 139 for anybody who wants it.
Wonderful.
In reference to the question about can you be too devoted to Mary, the early church fathers and indeed all of the iconography of the early church show great devotion to Our Lady, and they always show her pointing to or referencing her son. And that's primarily how they present her in the iconography part of the earliest times of the church. So really, this is there from the earliest time.
That's beautiful. Excellent. What a great comment. And in fact, someone once said when they turned away Mary at the inn, they also turned away Jesus. So you can't separate Jesus from our Blessed Mother. They are one. So you're right. You always see Our Lady with her Divine Son, you know, holding him out to the world or pointing to him. That is the ancient and beautiful iconography. And the any true devotion to Our Lady is obviously that is authentic. We shouldn't worry about. And, you know, obviously sometimes there might be false apparitions or apparitions that are not our Blessed Mother that, of course, you have to stay away from and avoid. And I would also recommend when you read the book, The True Devotion to Mary, he lists what are the qualities of true devotion to Mary versus false devotion to Mary. Okay? And he does talk about false devotion to Mary. For example, he says true devotion to Mary is unselfish, that we want to serve her and honor her as a knight would honor his queen. We don't want to have selfish devotion to Mary, which means that we don't even think about her or honor her unless we need something. And say, Mary, give me this, Mary, give me that. He says that would not be proper. Sometimes people start that way and then they grow into true devotion to Our Lady. You know, in the book, The True Devotion, De Montfort talks about the analogy of a young boy who wants to give an apple to the king, but the apple's not very presentable, has a couple bruises and all that. So what he does is he takes it to the queen, The queen then takes it back to the kitchen, peels it, slices it, puts it on a silver tray, maybe some good caramel dip and some other good things, right? And then takes it to the king, and that's what the Mumford says Our Lady does with our prayers. She purifies them, enhances them, and that's why it's good to go to Jesus with Mary. So Mary is the perfect prayer partner. So you go to Jesus in, with, and through Mary, and then our prayers do become more acceptable, more pleasing to the Lord if you go with and through our Blessed Mother. The Mumford says it's a more humble way to go. Yes, can you approach Jesus directly? Yes, of course you can. But it's more humble to go with and through his mother. And you know, sometimes if you had to ask a king for something, yeah, you could. But if you know the king's mother and says, can you put in a good word for me? Can you go to the king with me and for me? Then your chances are much better. And look at the wedding feast of Cana. Our Lord indicated he was not planning on working a miracle at that point. He said, my hour is not yet come. But the Blessed Mother, you know, said, now it's your time, and told the servants, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus turned the water into wine. And of course, Bishop Sheen says, he speculates that the reason why Jesus did that, because he felt bad because the apostles had gotten there and had drank in all the wine. Okay? Because the Bible says the apostle shows up in the very next sentence and the wine ran out. So the Lord felt that he owed them a little something to make up for the apostles. So the other question people always ask is, well, after I make the consecration and give everything to Mary, my prayers, my indulgences, my merits, my graces, can I still pray for specific people? Can I still pray for the Pope? Can I still pray for a soul in purgatory? Can I still pray for my son or my daughter? And the answer is, of course, yes. But the thing to remember is that once you've consecrated yourself to Our Lady, is that you're giving her permission to apply those prayers and graces to somebody else who may be more in need if she has somebody else that she would like to apply those prayers to. I'll give you an example. Maybe you're praying for somebody, that a loved one or family member that has passed away, and you're praying for that person. But let's say that person's already in heaven, but somebody else is in purgatory that has no one praying for them. So after you make the consecration, you are saying to Our Lady that you're welcome, Mary. You have the authority to take any of my prayers and apply them to who needs them the most. You might be praying for the Pope, or you might be praying for someone else. But Our Lady, in her wisdom, can distribute those prayers or graces to whoever needs them even more. And so that's what it means. Can you still pray for specific things? Of course, but it's always subject to Our Lady's good pleasure. And since she is always united to Jesus, however she distributes the graces are exactly the way Jesus would distribute them. A good analogy, the father of the family comes home with a paycheck, gives it to his wife, she goes to the bank, cashes it, and then buys the groceries and pays the bills and gives the kids allowance and gives. And because she's so united to her husband, how she distributes that is the way he would want it distributed. So Jesus earned the paycheck of our salvation by dying on the cross. He then gives that to Our Lady. She then distributes it to her children, to all of us. Okay, and some more questions. Yes?
Does Jesus dispense graces or just Mary?
No, well, Jesus does dispense graces. All graces come, you know, from the Father through Jesus in the Holy Spirit. But according to many of the saints, doctors of the church, fathers of the church, and many of the popes, that they have said that the Lord has chosen to bestow graces through the Blessed Mother, and that they pass through Mary's hands. I guess the question is, you know, could Jesus distribute graces not through Mary? And of course, the answer is yes. He can. He can do anything. He's the Lord. He's God. But that in his plan, he has chosen to make Mary the mediatrix of all graces, that all graces pass through Our Lady and through her intercession. So again, many of the fathers and doctors have talked about that.
Could you call this book the modern day version of True Devotion?
Which one, this book here, The Morning Glory? Yes, the True Devotion to Mary, of course, is written by St. Louis de Montfort. He lived from 1673 to 1716. He only lived to be 43 years old. You know, Maximin Kolbe lived to be 47. It's amazing what they did in their short lifetime. So I would say this does not replace the True Devotion. Everybody should still read de Montfort's True Devotion because there's so much in there about Our Lady and the Lord and True Devotion versus False Devotion and practical suggestions on how to live the devotion. But this is a modern day preparation to make the consecration. The other one that has been used for a couple hundred years is the 33-day preparation, and that's where you read the Imitation of Christ, the as quotations from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the Imitation of Christ, and the Montfort True Devotion. That is a 33-day preparation put together by the Montfort Fathers. And you might have seen that little book, and probably you use it for years. This basically is also a 33-day preparation, but giving it a little different twist, having more recent authors besides the Montfort, having Mother Teresa, John Paul II, and Maximin Kolbe. So it really is an excellent way to freshen and to enliven your preparation. Because I know people that have made the de Montfort consecration every year for 25 years. And every year they do the 33-day preparation. And that's wonderful. I encourage you to do that. But sometimes it's nice to, you know, read something like this to get some different insights from some of these, you know, more recent saints. Yeah.
Explain that. So you're consecrated, but
Well, the a consecration, actually the word means to be set aside, like an altar is consecrated, a tabernacle is consecrated. So when we're consecrated, it is something that we, for example, do the preparation, make the consecration, but you renew it, just like you renew your wedding vows. You know, you don't get married again. You've already been married, but you renew your wedding vows. So that's why the Montfort says you can renew this every year, like on your anniversary. Like mine is March 25th, because that was the day I was baptized. And so every year I do the Montfort consecration with parishioners. Sometimes we'll get 50 or 100 people do the 33-day preparation. Say half the people use this book and then half use the traditional 33 days. From the Montfort Fathers. So it's a renewal of your consecration, so I'd recommend renewing it every year. Some of the Montfort Fathers say that you don't necessarily have to go through all 33 days every year. You can do like a mini preparation, let's say a 3-day preparation, knowledge of self, knowledge of Christ, knowledge of Our Lady. So you can do that and then renew your consecration every year. So that's why, so it's always a good idea to enliven it and freshen it. In fact, even as a priest, we renew our priestly vows every year on Holy Thursday. And many couples renew their vows Valentine's Day or other days. That's a good question. Thanks.
Are there any priests that don't believe this?
The question is about, you know, let's say, about other priests. Yeah, there are other priests that maybe I've never read Louis de Montfort or Maximin Kolbe's writings, or they just have a different, you know, spirituality. And there's so many different spiritualities in the church. You have sort of a Dominican, Jesuit, Franciscan, Augustinian. There's a lot of different spiritualities in the church. Franciscans may focus more on serving the poor and seeing God in nature, like St. Francis. But the Dominicans would have a different, you know, a different spirituality. In fact, I remember that story of the Nativity, and you had Jesus in the manger and Saint Joseph and the Blessed Mother, and they were visited by St. Dominic, St. Francis, and St. Ignatius Loyola. And St. Francis prostrated himself before the Christ child in the manger and was wrapped in ecstasy. St. Dominic knelt before our Blessed Mother in great respect. And St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, went up and put his arm around St. Joseph and says, "Have you given any thought to the boy's education?" So every order has its own spirituality. Okay. But you will find priests that are not, let's say, quote unquote, as devoted to Our Lady as other priests. You know? So you will find that. I'm sure you've already found it. Yes. It's a very good question. The Lord, like every prayer, of course, that we say silently has to go to God first, but then God can enlighten any of the saints or even the angels that you're praying for their intercession and their help, and then they can intercede and pray for you. So I would say you don't have to pray out loud. It could be in your heart and soul, because every prayer, of course, has to go through God. But then God could let St. Jude know, "St. Jude, this person is a desperate case. They want some extra prayers." Or St. Anthony, "This person needs to find something. Lost their car keys or lost their car." So every prayer really does go to God. But then God can let that saint know that somebody is asking their intercession. And it is true that, you know, the angels necessarily wouldn't read our mind unless we want them to, or unless we ask God to ask our guardian angel to intercede for us. But the angels, of course, they can read our body language, our expressions. They can read, you know, quite a bit. But if you do, you know, pray to your, asking your guardian angel to help you, then God will let that guardian angel know. Yes, in the back.
Recall, and it's somewhere in the Norwegian handbook, but I think it's one of the early fathers that talked about Mary being the neck to the head of the Godhead. And that it's
of the mystical body. Yeah. Yes, that's St. Bernard of Clairvaux, I believe, is the one who talks about that. Because some of the saints have, because you have the mystical body of Christ, right? Christ is the head of the mystical body. We're his arms and legs, his hands and feet. We're all part of the body of Christ. The contemplative orders of the Carmelites and the Carthusians and the Poor Clares that are hidden, they're like the inner organs of the body. You know, we don't see them, but they're indispensable for the life of the body. You know, the liver, the kidney, all these things, the lungs. And so one of the saints said that he used the analogy, maybe like Our Lady is like the neck, because Jesus is the head and the graces come from Jesus, the head, through Mary into the rest of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. So that's one analogy. Another one of the saints said that Mary was like the heart of the mystical body, just like the mother is the heart of the family, the father, the head of the family, the mother, the heart of the family, because the heart pumps blood to all parts of the body. So Mary, by her prayers, distributes graces to all parts of the mystical body of the church. That's a neat insight. Thanks for bringing that up.
Also, there's the incarnational aspect from the Eucharist. Particularly our monstrance here at St. Mary's has the Blessed Mother at the base. Mm. And it's a reminder that the flesh of Jesus has been taken from his mother. And the two are together, all of us.
That's true, when you consider that Jesus had no human father, so he received his body from his mother, that they must have looked very similar, very much alike. And And also some of the saints have said that a good meditation is to think of the unconsecrated host, in a sense like Our Lady, and then which then became consecrated, the body of Christ. So our Lord drew his body from his Blessed Mother. Mary is not God, she's not divine. That host that's not consecrated is not God, but after it is consecrated, it has become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, which he did receive from his mother. So again, it's good to never separate Jesus from Mary, because they are so closely united. The Sacred Heart of Jesus began beating below the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So they say their heartbeats are one. And it's a beautiful meditation when Mary was pregnant, that their hearts were so united, and that even after she gave birth, they always were one. If you saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, you remember that? How when Jesus was being scourged and Mary felt such agony. When he was in prison, if she could hear him breathing, and it's a very powerful thought to know how close that they were, mother and son. We have time for a couple more questions or thoughts? Oh, yeah.
So when the Marian fathers actually talk about these various saints, they often draw the parallel between St. Faustina, Maximilian Kolbe, and soon to be canonized Blessed John Paul II. In fact, those three people grew up within 30 miles of each other. Cool. In Polk and what's really now part of Lithuania. But there's a great connection in the film that they made, Ocean of Mercy.
Oh, yeah.
They draw the parallel between Maximilian Kolbe's writings and his efforts and this dual sacrifice of, you know, I choose both crowns. And what Faustina did in being Secretary of Divine Mercy, and then Pope John Paul II, Blessed John Paul, being the one to bring this whole message to such fruition in the 20th century, which is actually the bloodiest century and the worst century for martyrs in all of Christendom.
That's right, that's right.
It's very interesting, and in fact, even before Father Michael, I think, was a member of this community, that movie was made. So it's still available.
Well, that's excellent. I love your connection between the three great sort of Polish saints of Faustina, Maximilian Kolbe, and John Paul II. And you're right, they all have a very similar spirituality. And you're right, John Paul II and others historically have said the 20th century is the bloodiest of all centuries. And Father John Hardin, the great Jesuit, said there were more martyrs in the 20th century than the previous 1900 years combined. Did you know that? Take all the martyrs between the time of Christ and the year 1900, it would not equal the number of millions of martyrs in the 20th century. And that's why John Paul II said Maximilian Kolbe is really the patron saint of the bloodiest century. One couple last thoughts to take with you tonight is that the Montfort talks about some interior practices and some exterior practices. And, of course, things like praying the rosary every day would be a very good practice to be devoted to Our Lady. Remember the saying, a decade a day keeps the devil away? So that's good. And then don't forget to wear your miraculous medal. Make sure you wear your miraculous medal. And in fact, that's the big sacramental we give out in the Legion of Mary. Hopefully all of you are members of the Legion of Mary, either active members or auxiliary members. The auxiliary member prays the rosary every day. The active members go to a meeting, and then they go out and visit the prisons, hospitals, or nursing homes, or do other work that the pastor wants. But we always give out miraculous medals on our Legion visits at nursing homes and with the homebound and the shut-ins and all that. And I remember somebody saw two legionaries walking down the street with their medals and says, here come those miraculous meddlers. But that's what we want. We want to be miraculously meddling in other people's lives in a good way, right? We want to bring them closer to God. So wear your medal, your brown scapular. De Montfort recommended having beautiful images in the home, maybe an icon or a statue of Our Lady. In fact, De Montfort always would walk and carve little statues of Our Blessed Mother. He also recommended wearing what he called the little chain, which would be a little bracelet for yourself to remind you that you belong to Jesus through Mary and the holy slavery of love. He also, another idea would be to every year celebrate your baptismal day. Everybody celebrates their birthday, but don't forget about the day you became a child of God. In fact, it impressed De Montfort so much that he changed his name. He abandoned his family name, Grignon, and he said, "I am now Louis of Montfort," because that's the town in which he was baptized. And then every day say the beautiful prayer, "I am all yours, my queen, my mother, and all that I have is yours." And then sing beautiful hymns to Our Lady, place flowers by her, images in her shrines, you light a candle in the church and in her honor. Then I recommend reading the True Devotion. The Legion of Mary handbook is brilliant. And let me just mention a few other things here. If anybody wants to just give these out, these are free copies of a little summary of the book. This is an excellent one, so these are free. I also actually have this is the image of Our Lady Guadalupe with the 15 promises of those who recite the rosary. So everybody take one of those. And in fact, I'll just leave all these up here if you'd like to go through those. This is the book I wrote a couple years ago on the Blessed Mother and the Legion of Mary. And I think that you would especially like the chapter on the Mary's relationship to the Holy Spirit, which is all about the writings of Maximine Kolbe and Frank Duff. And also there's a chapter on True Devotion to Mary, which really summarizes True Devotion to Our Lady. And then, you know, Mark Forrest, the international Irish tenor. Mark and I have been longtime friends for 20 years. 10 years ago, we did this rosary CD. I do the praying, he does the singing, thanks be to God. But they're all 20 brand new reflections, original meditations on the 20 mysteries of the rosary. And then Mark does the Divine Mercy Chaplet and Litany of the Saints. So you might like that. And then my dad has made, out in Hollywood, back in the 70s and 80s, he made 4 record albums in the same studio where Bing Crosby recorded White Christmas. And they're called Mary Songs, was his first album. And there, he's written over 100 songs, recorded 4 different albums. They're on 2 CDs, so you're welcome to take them and listen to them and enjoy them. In fact, Mother Teresa loved my dad's music so much that he put his music in all her convents around the world. And that she loves his lyrics, because the lyrics of these songs is all De Montfort's True Devotion, spirituality. She would actually handwrite my dad's lyrics in her prayer book. And after she died, Mother Teresa's nuns in Norristown, where my mom and dad live, came down and showed my dad her prayer book with all his lyrics that she had hand copied, and she used them as meditations and reflections. So I think you'll like those as well. If you like music and you play guitar or piano, there's a couple of the song books. And then actually I'll pass this out. This is just a list of about 200 CDs that I've done on a lot of different topics: on family life, raising kids, apologetics, the Blessed Mother, Louis de Montfort, etc. So if you want any of those, that's how you can get those. I just brought a sample of some of the CDs because we weren't able to cover a lot of this tonight, but this is one on how to make the de Montfort consecration, like how to go through the 33 days. This is I'm here by Father Robert Bradshaw, a Legion of Mary missionary to Iceland and Russia. He died in Siberia. I think he'll get canonized one day. It's one of the most amazing CDs you'll ever hear is Father Bradshaw. The other one is Father Aidan McGrath, a missionary to China. This tells about his imprisonment in communist China, and it talks about some of the miracles that occurred to him. One of the most amazing CDs I've ever heard as well. This one is about the Legion of Mary. It tells about how my mom and dad met in the Legion and how the priest tried to get my dad into the Legion for 2 years. My dad always said no. But finally, since he was my dad's spiritual director, one day when my dad went to confession, the priest said, "For your penance, join the Legion of Mary." been in for 55 years, but there's a lot of humorous stories in there. And then this one is on living the month of consecration, how to live it practically. This one is on the life of Louis de Montfort and the true devotion. A whole hour talk about the life of de Montfort, and then an entire talk just about the true devotion, and then the 10 benefits of the Legion of Mary, how it helps you grow spiritually. So I will pass out my card too, if anybody would like that, because I have a very good Catholic website. There's over 1,000 sermons on there. You can just click on and listen to any daily sermons or any Sunday sermons. All the Sunday sermons begin with a joke, so you can just go through and listen to the opening joke. I also juggle fire torches and machetes, so if you want to see a 60-second clip of me juggling machetes, fire torches, and bowling balls, go to the website. And for my 50th birthday this year, I went skydiving, so that 3-minute video is up there too. So help yourself to these, and you're welcome to take them and use them. If you want to give a donation, you're welcome to do that, but I just want, we want to spread the faith and get the information out to you and to your loved ones. I also brought a relic of St. Louis de Montfort, and in this reliquary is St. Therese the Little Flower and St. Pius X, three saints who lived and made the consecration. So I guess we can end now, and I'll give you, we'll say a prayer, and I'll give you a blessing with the relic, and I'll leave it here if you'd like to venerate it and bless yourself with it after the talk. Again, help yourself to the books and CDs and enjoy them, and I think you'll hopefully get a lot out of them. Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our heart. To thee we cry, for banished children of Eve. To thee we send up our sighs, mourning we in this valley of tears. To thee, most gracious advocate, thine eyes and mercy towards us. Now, please, our child, show to us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus, O clement and loving and sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, the most holy Mother of God. Through the intercession of St. Louis, Grignion de Montfort, St. Therese of the Flower, and St. Pius X, may Almighty God bless you and your families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, everyone. I'll leave this up here if you'd like to venerate it. Thank you.